Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning I want to conclude this series of messages on the theme of telling stories. In preparing this series, I felt that each one followed the one before in a fairly logical way. At least it did for me. I began with speaking about the importance of storytelling, that stories speak to realities in more concrete ways often than simply stating facts or supposed truths. From the very beginning of time, when someone asked the question of why something happened, for what purpose something happened, often the reply of the storyteller was, "Once upon a time." Yes, even today it is stories, the stories of the novelist, the film writer, the script writer, that attempts to deal with the human drama by presenting it in stories. Stories that really allow us to interact with someone else's experience and find therein something that speaks to us personally. Well, the following week I spoke about the importance of telling your own story, a story which I described as coming out of one's struggle of the soul. That's using a term used often by religious writers. Your story that develops out of your needs, not only your needs, but out of your fears, out of your questions, out of your aspirations, out of your hopes, out of your personal losses, out of your personal defeats. The need to say to the spirit within us, which is, as I declared to be, God's spirit at work within us, to be able to say yes. And the next week, we spoke of finding a support group in which we're able and encouraged to tell our own stories and be listened to and be affirmed by others. And then last Sunday, we declared that the biblical stories of the heroes and the heroines of faith whom we read about in the scriptures speak to us, because these are stories also of men and women who struggled in their souls as they sought to be able to say yes to the Spirit within. These men and women we call heroes and heroines of the faith, not because of their goodness, but because they were men and women of faith, even including Jesus. And faith being defined most simply and yet most profoundly as trust. The stories speak to us because our deepest need is to trust. Jesus declaring on the cross, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Well, so much for a review of the past 4 weeks. It was about a week ago that I received a notice from our denomination encouraging congregations to observe Evangelism Sunday, which falls on the last Sunday of September each year. This year, that would be the 28th of September. I realize that some people have trouble with the word evangelism because it conjures up images of people standing on the street corners in New York City and other major cities calling out, "Are you saved?" Or individuals going house to house with their tracts and other materials, often from the Jehovah Witnesses or maybe even from the Mormons. Something many of us in the so-called mainline churches consider to be a real infringement on someone's privacy. Even though we don't have any trouble when someone comes to our door selling Girl Scout cookies or asking us to contribute to the high school sports program, or to the firemen's volunteer, the volunteer fire department's yearly quest for funds, and other worthwhile causes where people stop at our door. But we feel much more embarrassed to go to somebody's door and say, in whatever words you might care to phrase it, "I'm a Christian, committed to living out my life in terms of what Jesus taught and lived out in his life. And the joy that that brings to my life is something I would like to share with you if you would grant me a few minutes." Now, if I would announce this morning that we're going to organize just such a program, and I'm looking for some volunteers to go out two by two on some particular Sunday or some particular evening toward the end of September, I can see the rush of people that would sign up to go out and do that. We have difficulty even lining up individuals during a stewardship campaign to go into the houses of our own church family and say a word or two about our own spiritual journey and what involvement in this congregation means to us personally. As I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking of my situation in Merrick. I was able to pull that kind of visitation off only three times in my entire 25 years with that congregation, even though volunteers would tell me after participating in such a program that it really was a nice experience for them and they got to know their fellow church members much better. I wonder how long it's been here at Old South Haven Presbyterian Church since you've had an every member visitation. Even when not part of stewardship, but just going on a visit to members and sharing stories of what it means to you to be a part of this particular faith community. You know, I think the only time I know of when such stories are shared is when members of the session meet with a person ready to join this congregation. And our tendency, our practice has been to go around the circle, and each elder indicates how long they have been here and what this congregation means to them. Now, wouldn't it be nice if this same sharing of stories could be done with people of the larger community out there who are not preparing to join this church, but simply sharing stories which would probably have an effect on those not involved in church life anyplace? That is what evangelism is all about. Evangelism really means sharing the good news. But to actually talk to someone and share with that person the nature of our faith, the nature of our trust in God, and our commitment to furthering the mission of Jesus Christ, well, let's be honest. For most of us, that's not my cup of tea. With great gusto, we used to sing the hymn, not in our present hymnal, "We've a story to tell to the nations." Oh, really? Maybe a story we sometimes whisper to a neighbor friend. Maybe a story we talk about on an occasion with our pastor. But a story to tell the nations? It's easier and we are more willing to pay someone else to do that sort of thing. In fact, not long ago, a minister friend said to me that what mission means in his congregation is to send money to the central treasury of our denomination and let them distribute it as they would. Or, in speaking of local mission again, to send money to a local organization that we feel is accomplishing something worthwhile. Now, don't hear me wrong at this point. We need to participate in those kind of endeavors, but it seems to have become More and more the style of Christians today to pay someone else to tell the story rather than discover ways in which we can personally tell the story and how that story has an impact on our lives. If, however, and here comes the message of the morning based on what we have said in the messages of the past 4 weeks, if that biblical story, the stories of the heroes and the heroines of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and if the story of Jesus really speaks to me because that story illuminates my own story, speaks to me at the very depths of my being, addresses my own struggle of the soul, my needs, my fears, my questions, my aspirations, my hopes, my dreams, also sharing losses and defeats, enabling me to trust as did those men of faith, of trust that preceded me, enabling me to trust as did those men and women of faith, to trust because our Lord himself learned to trust. If that is the case, then out of that sheer joy, out of that peace which passes all understanding, out of that kind of conviction, that's a story I want to share. That, to me, is the beginning point of evangelism. The beginning point of sharing, simply sharing, the good news. Evangelism is talking about sharing with others what you have experienced personally. It's been such from the very first days of those 12 disciples themselves. The stories that they told were stories of experiences that they had had with Jesus and stories related to them by the experiences of others. And those who listened and heard were those who in their own experience had need for what was being offered. They were fed because they were hungry. However, and this is very important, telling our story in the context of the biblical story that speaks to us needs to take place only after listening. Listening to the other person or person's own story. We earn the right to tell our story when we have listened to and hopefully heard the story of the other individual or individuals. Telling our story is then a real conversation, a real dialogue, a true person-to-person conversation. In telling how the message of the Scripture speaks to us has become gospel or good needs for us can only be listened to and heard when it relates to that other person's own story. To use the imagery of Jesus in the gospel lesson this morning, his final message to his disciple Peter, individuals become fed because they hunger. It is, to use Paul's terms in the letter to the Romans, our second reading for today, to use the gifts we have and being genuine in our loving, ardent in spirit, not lagging in zeal. Evangelism not just in words, but in concrete actions. Even, this is where Paul seems to go off on the deep end, even feeding our enemies, always overcoming evil with good. To which I would say, amen. Let us bow together in prayer. we would listen, O Lord. Listen to the stories of those we encounter as we travel this journey of life. And we would welcome the opportunity to share our own stories with them, stories of how your love for us is manifested in so many ways, even as it had been for those heroes and heroines of the faith who walked this road before us and walked it in simple trust. Yes, O Lord, what a story. In the words of that hymn, we've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right, a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, for the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to new made bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, that kingdom of love and light. Amen.